internet, you're busy. Let's do this. Welcome to the Game Speed Decides podcast. This is the podcast where we decide everything about the world of games so you don't have to think for yourself. I'm your host, Jeffrey Grubb, and with me is...
Mike Minotti.
In today's episode, we got news and games. There's a lot happening with PlayStation finally this week. They finally started to start talking about stuff. That was nice. Do you want to let me have it, Mike? We tried to play Knack 2 last night.
It didn't work out. It was a disaster. Oh, my God.
First of all, we got really far into it without ever checking to see if it's a co-op game.
It's a co-op game, to be clear. It is not an online co-op game, which that did not occur to me that it might not have online support. Christian says he can't hear me. Can everyone else hear me? No, they can't hear me.
They can't hear you?
No, chat can't hear me.
Okay. All right, hang on. Let me see. It might be going to a different audio chat thing. Hang on. Let me bring it here. Okay. They should be able to hear you now.
Can Go people talk. Hear me now?
Can you hear them now, everybody?
Hi, Check people. It's Mike Minotti talking.
See, it'll be fine in the podcast, in the audio version. But it's just on the YouTube version.
Success, they say. Okay. All right, we're good.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I had it set up for doing a record where the audio is going to different channels. And when I'm streaming live, I had it going to just one channel. Never mind. I don't have to explain it to people.
Yeah, so Knack 2. We're going to play Knack 2. It's this whole thing. We're going to play it online co-op. The game does not have online co-op. It's only couch co-op. So we tried even doing share play, and that wasn't working. So then I was like, okay, Jeff, you just play it. I'll get on Discord on my PC, and then, you know, I'll just watch you and, you know, talk to you through it.
And I thought this was a good idea. I'm like, this is fine. You could just commentate on what I'm doing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we do that, and then you're like, oh, something's wrong with Discord. I'm like, I don't know. It looks completely normal on my end. You're like, and you did all these things, and I restarted. Eventually, you just gave up and started playing at some point, and just never happened. Like, I guess it's not working. And then, like, someone in chat said, like, I bet Jeff just has Mike muted. I'm like, he probably does just have me muted because when we podcast,
I thought I might have you muted too. I'm like, because I have you muted during the show because we use the podcast, the service to do the audio, and we use Discord for the video. So I mute you in Discord. And I'm like, well, everything down here is fine. And I just didn't look 6 inches to the right where I totally had you muted. I totally just didn't. I didn't even look. It's baffling that we spent a long time trying to fix that. And I think
I was just muted.
You were just muted.
Okay. You know what? That was an L for both of us on that one. Yeah. I tell you what, maybe that was the stream that Knack 2 deserved.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly what it deserved. Absolutely.
Great
game. I loved it.
Great game. What's that? Wait, great game? You seemed more down on it than that. Okay, you're
doing it. Okay. It's fine. Yeah.
I actually thought that, like, maybe if we played co-op, we would have felt it. But I was like already to be like, Knack 2 is like an underrated classic, actually. And you were playing it. And I was like, man, this looks kind of boring. Looked very simple.
It's simple. It's not. It was just too much combat, really, like you said last night. If it was more platforming, definitely better. Anytime you're doing the platforming when you're switching between states, it's really good. We don't have to talk a lot about Knack 2, but
what, we don't.
You know,
I feel like we kind of do.
I was having a good time with it in those sections, and then the combat would come along, and it was just kind of an action combat platformer.
It was like, there were all the rest. Two orc models you kept fighting. There was small orc and big orc.
Yeah. And, people made said it's a lot like the Lego games. It has those sound effects, but during that combat, that's what it feels like. It just feels like a simple Lego game, which is probably why they put co-op in there. You play with a kid. I bet that's really fun with a kid. When my kids get older, if they don't, jive with the Lego games, maybe we'll try Knack 2 and I'll play that.
They've been really misbehaving. That's when you bring out Knack 2.
Yes,
which exactly. You'll be able really to play on your PlayStation 5 thanks to the backward compatibility.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we'll get to that in the news. Let's do the credits real quick, and then we'll hop into
the news. Look at that.
It was a good segue. I know, but what are we going to do?
Segue up, and you're like, I know. We're going to talk about the PlayStation 5 breakdown first.
We got to get it here. Let's just get this stuff out of the way, and we'll do all that. And then we can try another segue. Maybe there will be another one that's just as
You don't natural. Deserve my segues. Let's go.
You can get more from me and Mike at gamesbeat.com. If you have something to share with us, it's games plus podcast at venturebeat.com. That's a plus sign. Or just get us on Twitter at gamesbeat. Thank you to Carlos Ayin, who is Insane in the Rain Music on YouTube for the use of our theme song. If you are listening to this on the website player widget or you're watching on YouTube, there's an audio version of the show that you could subscribe to. You can get that on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere where podcasts are found. We have a anchor.fm site where you can go and find all the links to everything else. Finally, if you like the show, rate us on Apple Podcasts, give us a thumbs up on YouTube. It helps people find the show, and we really appreciate that. Or tell a friend. Tell a friend about Mike. That's what I always say. Hey, everybody. Jeff's a known quantity. Tell your friends about Mike Minotti.
I was walking inside today. My neighbor was talking to me and said, I look skinny. I'm like, wow, this is what happiness feels like.
Yes, it's like whenever you get a compliment, like once every couple of years, I'm like, I always remember them. Once
every
long
couple
time.
Of
I'm,
years, I know, right?
That's what it feels like. It's like people don't even normally say nice things to grown men, and I think that's fair.
Yeah,
but when sure. they do, it's like, oh man, that makes me feel good.
Yeah, trolls like us, we don't get those things.
Exactly.
And when I say troll, I mean like in the Shrek way.
Yes, exactly. Like a big stinky onion man. Yeah.
The big stinky onion man. All right.
They're true. Good. So they have trolls have layers, Mike. Jesus.
I don't have layers.
I thought you were a fan.
I got the reference. I got the reference. Let's go. You didn't even remember Shrek 3 a moment ago. You didn't know Shrek 3 was good or bad. I had to tell you.
I couldn't.
Shrek 3 is awful.
Yeah, I have like one or two of them on my Plex server, and we watch those. And
yeah, one and three two, is not one of them,
probably for that reason. Yeah, probably. Yeah,
three's awful, four's fine, Puss in Boots is also fine. Let's go, move on.
PlayStation 5, all right, you want to do the backwards compatibility thing first? Is that what you want to do?
No, I mean, I wanted to a moment ago, but I'm sure you'd rather talk about something boring like Liquid Metal, so you can go
yes,
ahead.
Yes, Liquid Metal's very good. Okay, so they tore down the PlayStation 5 in a video this week. They're finally starting to talk about that system a lot more. Feels like they're really ramping up to release, and part of that was this long-promised official teardown, which I don't... Do you remember like official teardowns before this generation? Was that something companies ever did?
Not to my memory. I mean, I'd always felt like something that like, you know, a website or a YouTube person would do, right? Like I have a PlayStation, you know, PlayStation 3, let's break it apart, right? I don't recall like Sony being like, here is us taking the PlayStation 4 apart. It's neat. I like it. And like it got traction for them. So I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, and I think like Cerny like promised it during their GDC thing, their non-GDC thing, way back in March. So people have been talking about like, well, Sony said they're going to do that thing. And I'm like, man, I know he said they were going to, but you really think so? And then this thing came along and I'm like, wham, this is exactly what he said it would be. So I guess if you haven't seen the video, it is just a hardware engineer, someone who's in charge of the hardware engineers at Sony in Japan, just taking the PlayStation 5 apart. And my first reaction was like everyone else's, that thing looks enormous. Next
it's huge.
To Batman.
Yeah.
It looks bigger than his entire torso.
I think he might
in his arms.
I think he may be a tiny man, but he even might. If he wasn't, it's huge.
You know that it's a big system. But yeah, even if he is a tiny man, it still looked gigantic. But whatever, we knew it was going to be huge this entire time. And I don't really care about the size all that much. I actually think it's fun how big they are this generation. I just can't believe PlayStation 5 is the biggest console ever. That was
always it's gigantic. Like, yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know how I feel. I'm just all aboard the PlayStation 5 aesthetic. I don't care how big it is.
Same. I'm glad the way it looks. I think the size only makes it cooler, but that, and literally actually makes it cooler too.
That heat sink.
Yeah, exactly. The gigantic heat sink in there. So that was one of the big takeaways I had. I knew there was going to be a big heat sink in this thing. I could like just tell him like, that's probably why it's like shaped the way it is. That's why it's the size it is. But he opened it up and they took that heat sink out and it was just also gigantic. I actually could not believe it was as big as it actually was. And that's like, to me, that just says they're taking heating really seriously. I think both of these systems are going to be really cool. They're going to run really cool in terms of like, literally what I mean.
No, I heard that the Xbox Series X is an oven.
Yeah. And like, that's what like people are like, these things run hot. It's like, no, they're going to blow out a ton of heat. If you go next to them, you're going to feel a lot of heat coming off of both of these things. And that's a good thing. Cause that means the heat's not in the chip anymore. They're really good at expelling heat is what that means. So yeah, like, and I'm excited because that means that these things are going to be probably pretty quiet overall, and they'll be able to reach those really high like GPU clock speeds that Sony keeps talking about for the PlayStation 5. Which
Muhammad in our chat said that they did do a official PlayStation 4 Pro teardown, so it's not completely unprecedented.
Right. Right. So this last year, I think it's like it started in the last couple of years because of like YouTubers and stuff like making that a big deal and people like,
yeah.
like, oh, what we want to see inside of it.
I think in general, way more people are like savvy about that. Like, I remember like I was a kid the first time I saw inside of a system or a computer. I'm like, well, this is just nonsense. Right. And now even right. I could like identify like, well, that's the processor. That's the hard drive. And like I am awful at that stuff. And even I like have some literacy with this stuff now.
Right. And, you know, and a big part of this generation is like we are taking the engineering challenges of working with really hot components seriously. And in order to sell that, they really do have to just show us what you mean by that. And part of that's like, OK, where you are putting liquid metal in there. And that is to me really wild. The idea of shipping a consumer electronics product with liquid metal in it, like even like 2 years ago, was unthinkable.
Now, what is this like a replacement for thermal paste? What is liquid metal
yes.
doing? Okay.
It's for what you think of as thermal paste. It's the thermal interface material, I believe. The TIM is what people always call it. If you hear people talk about liquid metal TIM, they're not talking about a cool guy named Tim who is into liquid metal as a genre of music. It is liquid metal going between liquid metal Tim, you know him.
I'm just thinking there's an episode of Metalocalypse where I think they tried recording their metal music onto water to get the clearest sound possible. So that's what, sorry.
No, it's a good show. You made me really actually just want to go back and watch that show again. So thermal paste is good. You can get really good thermal paste that moves the heat from the chip and then from its surface, from like the actual die is what it's called, into the heat sink, and then the heat sink routes it out, and then the fan hits the heat sink and the heat blows out of the system. That's the idea. And really good thermal paste does that really well. Never going to be as good as liquid metal, but liquid metal is going to move around. And if liquid metal is electrically conductive, so if it gets on top of anything else in that system, it could cause shorts on the motherboard, on the PCB. And these are things that, enthusiasts on PC, they'll take those risks and do it themselves. But no PC maker was ever even going to ship you something with liquid metal in it for a while. It's starting to change. Asus has a laptop that's shipping this year that uses liquid metal as its thermal interface material. But so to me, that says like one of the concerns with using it, in addition to it, like moving around, is that it was not durable and you'd have to replace it. People were like, you have to replace it every 6 months, which is wild to me. But some people were really into like just having the best like thermal performance possible. But you can't, that's not going to happen on a console, right? It has to last 7 to 10 years beyond that. So to me, the idea that it's shipping in a laptop and PlayStation is doing this says, okay, this material is where it needs to be. And that's pretty exciting. I will say, don't open up your PlayStation 5 to the liquid metal. Liquid metal is very, my baby's mad. I'm going to have to go deal with that, but we'll see. Liquid metal is dangerous. If you get it on your skin, it'll be really bad. If it will melt other metal.
I mean, what like metal is aluminum, this?
I think it's going to be an alloy, but I think it's mostly gallium.
I don't know what gallium is. Why do I ask? Why do I ask? I don't want to know the answers to.
I answered the question.
Are you gonna go check on your baby or what?
No, she's fine. She started crying for like a second, but she's probably just mad at a toy.
We're video game journalists. We understand that.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's our whole job.
getting mad at toys.
It'll kill you. The liquid metal will murder you, basically.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. And then I guess the other big thing here is that the faceplates are really easy to remove, and people are going to probably do a lot of custom faceplates, and that got a lot of traction too. I think that's cool.
Good. All the people with bad taste who don't like the white faceplates can now.
I know, guarantee you, first week people are going to be like, "I painted mine black, and I'm gonna send those all right to you."
I hope they get like the really tacky ones where it's just like wallpaper, like patterns and like, you know, like decal flames that you'd see on a car, like ugly stuff like that. That's what I'm all about.
Do you know what my PS4 Pro is? Like, do you remember the, when I posted the thing about customizing my PS4 Pro?
Not really. No,
I, there's a site I think called like toast.com or something like that. And they have your baby's mad again. All right. Let me go deal with this. I'll be right back, people. Hang on.
What should I call Jeff when he comes back? What kind of name? I don't watch any TV. Yeah, Crash 4 is amazing. I literally, if I have free time, I am playing video games pretty much. Like, I'm even behind on like the new Star Trek shows, and I'm a generic nerd, so I love Star Trek. I haven't even watched those. Is that too a PlayStation 5 backward compatible exclusive? Yes, it is. I have it on good authority. You will not be able to play Knack 2 on an Xbox Series X or Xbox Series S. There is going to be an Xbox Series K for Knack, and it's going to run on that. And it'll be the only game that runs on it.
And I think that's a big win for Microsoft. I'm glad they pulled that off. Okay, I'm back. He's fine.
All right, great.
You can hear me?
All right, okay. I think that's enough about Liquid Metal. What else?
Yes. Okay. So, and that's enough about the faceplates as well.
Oh, right. We already moved on from Liquid Metal. Faceplates. Yeah. I mean, you know, I do wonder like how official those are going to get. Are we going to, cause there were a lot of like ugly Xbox 360 faceplates that were like, here's the Eternal Sonata, like faceplate for your Xbox 360. And it's just five anime characters standing next to each other for like, they would just use promo art from video games. And oh yeah, that's beautiful. The wood grain. That's right. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm hardcore into that.
I still really like this a lot. It's why I'm like, I wouldn't even consider getting rid of my PS4 Pro just because I'm like, this wood finish on it. It's like, it was there. It works like decals, but it's actual wood and you just paste it right on there. You take off the back protector later and you slide it on there.
I just wrote about this on my retro beat that's going up later today, but it's about how is nostalgia going to work for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One? Because I actually just like, I just put in my old like childhood TV back into my bedroom on like the old TV stand I had like when I was a kid.
Oh,
and I have like the Genesis and Super Nintendo plugged in those things. Like, man, that's neat. And I was just wondering like, man, like 20 years from now, are people going to be like, finally, I have my PlayStation 4 and Xbox One plugged back in. And it's just, it does not seem likely. No, it's just.
I think if people are, I think it's mostly a good thing, right? That, because people are like, oh, the PS3 is still relevant this year. And then as soon as the PS5 comes out, the PS4 won't be relevant anymore because you'll just be able to play all those games and it'll just go away. I'm like, yeah, but I mean, you'll still be able to play all those games on the next system. Like, that's overall a good thing. And like all your digital purchases will continue to run over like they didn't from Xbox 360 and PS3.
But like even like, so like the Wii played every GameCube game, right? So In some sense, it's like, why do I care about having a GameCube still if I have a Wii? But like, there is something distinct about the GameCube aesthetically and personality wise that like, I don't like from a GameCube to a Wii that I just don't think is really there for either of these systems to their new ones. And some of that's intentional.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think if I'm thinking back, like the Wii U was really, really bad at playing some of the games that Wii was really good at, like especially on virtual console. Like I remember I really regretted moving all my virtual console games from the Wii over to the Wii U. So I just think all those problems have kind of been solved now. And so, yeah, going forward, one generation is not going to be, we're going to leave these things behind and people won't have that nostalgia in the same way. I don't think. Right. I mean, maybe there'll be something about it.
Yeah. I mean, they also just seem to break more often, right? Like maybe there's nostalgia for the Xbox 360, but yeah, not a working Xbox 360 anymore. Right.
But something, right.
If you want to play like Mirror's Edge from the Xbox 360, you probably just bought it for $5 on some Steam sale by now on your PC. Right.
Or yes, exactly.
I was trying to think like what game is there from that generation that you can only play on there still. And the only thing I can think of is Metal Gear Solid 4, like only ever came out for PlayStation 3. And I can't come up with any other examples really.
Right. Yeah. Like even that, like, yeah, you're right.
Even that, like, who cares?
Yeah, they're still real. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like maybe I'll go like try to track that down one day, but honestly, I'll probably just try to emulate it on a PC using like a PS3 emulator one day, like 5 years from now. Yeah, so, but I mean, I guess speaking of backward compatibility, the PS5 is going to support 99% of PS4 games. They confirmed that for sure today. Like they've said previously, like, oh, we will, we've checked the top 100 games and like 99% of those work. So it was like 99 games work. That's how many, like, is that all we should expect? And I always felt like, no, they're probably going to get most games to work just fine. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see, but likely everything's going to be just kind of, it's going to work on PS5 the way it's working on Xbox Series X. So I wasn't surprised really to see this blog post today, but it does feel like it took them some time to come out and say this. I don't know why it took them.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing. Cause like there are some games that won't work, but they are very like unimportant. It's like, Tomb Raider right. Go and like stuff like that, stuff that no one's going to care about.
T.T. Isle of Man Ride on the Edge 2 is a motorcycle game, and that won't work. And I know
it does make you wonder, like, what is it about these games that they're the only ones that don't right. work? But, you know, it's fine. But more so than that, they even said, like, yeah, so the save, all of your save files will just easily transfer over to PlayStation 5. And so you won't have to worry about that. Because I think even with Spider-Man, some people were like curious about that. Well, that's a whole thing because you're upgrading, right? So who knows? But so, yeah. It's all good. Hitman Go doesn't work. Not Tomb Raider Go. Maybe Tomb Raider Go also. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah, and Joe's Diner. But Hitman Go was the most standout one to me. Hitman Go is a good game. Those.
Yeah, but it's also a mobile game, right? Like that got right. bored. So it, exactly. Not that mobile games are worse, but I don't like them as much.
Right. Yeah, and it's like, you know, if you really wanted to play that game, you probably would have played it by now. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to play it going forward, you probably can still play it on your phone, I would imagine. Some other things about this, your PS4 saves will transfer to the PS5. You can do this over the cloud, and it's probably the way most people are going to do it. But for that, you have to be a PS Plus subscriber. If you don't do that, you can also transfer it over Wi-Fi or an Ethernet cable. But hey, they confirm that as well. I'm really confused about what the confusion was from these developers saying, like, hey, some of these saves aren't going to transfer to the PS5. Why were they saying that if it was always going to work this way? What was
I guess maybe they were confused about like the difference between just backward compatibility straight up and like one of these kind of like Ultimate Edition ports or something, or like with Spider-Man or Mortal Kombat. Even then, I'm not sure. And maybe this all took so long because it wasn't until just now Sony had actually completely figured this all out, right? Like, this is a software issue more than anything else. So, like, you know, maybe they didn't know if it was going to all work right away, at least. So, I don't know. It is weird, but it's good news. I think we're all happy.
Yeah. They also said that some PS4 games will get boost mode, which means they'll run at a higher frame rate, especially if they have like unlocked resolutions and unlocked frame rates, which is basically, again, how the Xbox Series X works. That's all a good thing. They did imply that some of them will be able to take advantage of the UX advancements of the PS5. And then they said, but more on that later, which is a reminder that they still haven't showed off the UI of the PlayStation 5. But
it's weird
to me. It all feels like it's part of the, like, you know, it is weird, but like it's coming. And once it comes, it probably will be like, oh, okay, this is good. And there's no problems here. Just like it was with backward compatibility. So, I guess we'll have to wait and see. I will be interested to see what that is. I wonder if it's just like, more easier sharing or that create button or something like that. They'll be able to like
probably something with the
games
create,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Probably, yeah, exactly. And then, the PSVR, games are going to work. You will need your PS4 camera though, because the PS5 camera doesn't work with PSVR.
Right. Don't you like need an adapter cable too for the PlayStation 4 camera?
Right. You need an adapter cable, and you can get the adapter cable for free, I think, from PlayStation. I don't know how that works, but that, to me, that screams like limited supply. And if you don't get it right away, it's probably going to be pretty hard to get. But yeah, they're talking about they'll provide that for free. So that's something. I think we knew that you would need the PS4 camera, or that the PS4 camera would need an adapter. I didn't know that the PS5 camera wouldn't work with PSVR, but I guess maybe that is something that was out there.
Yeah, so I mean, VR still seems like something they haven't really fully committed to yet on PlayStation 5, right? Like, there's no like big PlayStation 5 VR game that they're talking about right now.
Yeah, it seems like the kind of thing where like if they have a VR strategy for the PS5, which they probably do, they're saving it for next year, and it will probably reset things to a certain extent, where they'll probably think about maybe going wireless, trying something different there. So I'll look forward to see what their strategy is, but I don't think it's going to hurt them not to have
a real lot quick. Anti Macros just joined the chat, and I want him to know that Jeff had me muted last night the whole time, and that was the problem. So continue.
You don't have to tell everybody.
I can tell him. Everybody. He's our mod. He has to know these things.
All right. I think it does it for PS5 backward compatibility. But I guess, I mean, you said, this is a good thing, right? This is the basic takeaway here. It's like everything works how you would hope it would work.
Yeah. I think this is on the better end of expectations or hopes for this sort of thing, right? So.
Yeah, I do think like expectations were so low for a certain, like, because people were like getting really anxious about this stuff. It's like Sony's not talking about it. They won't confirm that games are all going to work. The save system seems all messed up. And now it's like they come out with like all the stuff that I was expecting them to. And it sort of feels like, oh, they did it. Mm-hmm. Good. All right. Good. Good for them.
Right.
I'm like, how assume the worst. Where it's like, oh, good for them. Like, yeah, but that's what happened here. All right. A couple other news stories. Microsoft and GameStop are partnering up. This was happening yesterday and I was very busy. I was trying to like figure this one out. Mike, do you have any insight into this?
Man, I kind of the same thing. Like, because I mean, I know it's good for GameStop basically, but like, I don't, what is the partnership exactly? Like, what does this mean?
So it sounds like it's multifaceted. Sounds like there's multiple parts of the partnership, but here's what I wrote down. Maybe chat can help if you guys want to like throw anything in here. Microsoft will help update GameStop's point of sale system. My understanding is that some GameStops, if not all, are still on like Windows XP systems. Yeah. So Microsoft will come in and help with that stuff. But then that's going to enable GameStop to like do like really advanced stuff for point of sales, where like they can carry around Surface devices, then go up to a customer and say, oh, hey, I see that you are like you're holding that game in your hand. Are you ready to check out? Because if you're going to pay with a card, I could do it right here and check out right at the right thing.
They're going to be able to register pre-orders so quickly.
Right, exactly. And since we're right here at the wall, I saw you were looking at this too. Should we just like put you down for a pre-order for this as well? And again, it's like an Apple Store basically is how it's going to work, but with Microsoft devices instead. I think yes, GameStop's going to start using Microsoft Teams. So basically Microsoft Slack and that means like 35,000 GameStop employees across the world are now all going to be on Microsoft Teams. And basically that is Microsoft signing a big client to come work on its business. Okay. Like it's business to business
stuff. I guess. Cause I was about to ask, like, this is obviously all good for GameStop. What is Microsoft getting out of it?
Right. So they're getting a big client for Teams. Yes, exactly. Okay. But it might be more than that. So, another part of this is that the stores might get deeper integration with Microsoft stuff. So like, GameStop is one of the retailers selling Xbox All Access, but they spoke in a way that made it sound like in the future that could deepen to the point where you can go into a store, go into a GameStop, and because of their Microsoft integration, you could just be like, here's my Xbox Live account or my Xbox account, and I want to buy this stuff digitally, or here's what I own digitally. Maybe there's like a point system where it's like you earn points from buying digital games, and then you can apply that in store at GameStop. And some of this stuff is speculation. And then some people are thinking like maybe you could start selling back digital games and use it as credit at GameStop.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know. To me, some of that stuff sounds possible. I think that to me, I'm still really skeptical that we'll ever get to the point where we could trade in digital games. I think the much more likely scenario is exactly what Nintendo's already doing, where if you buy a game on the eShop, you get some gold points, and then you can use those gold points to buy more games in the store. So it's like a reward system. I think that will be kind of the form this stuff takes, but we'll see. We'll have to see how that goes. All right. Mike, we got another story coming up. We also got a super chat. You want to read that real quick?
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Yeah. From Creaky Legs, sends $5. Thank you very much. Here is the trade-in value of your current gen console for GameStop. I was wondering about that because I feel like there's going to be a giant flood of people who are going to want to trade in their consoles. I think a lot of them are going to be disappointed because they are probably not going to be worth very much because there's going to be a big influx of people selling them, and I can't imagine there's going to be that many people interested in buying them.
Yeah, I think because you remember, like in the past generations, when we would go from one system to another, GameStop would usually have like really good trade-in deals, right? I never took advantage of them, but I know them popping up.
Yeah, they would. It was always specifically you would get extra credit towards the new one if you traded in an old console. Like that was something right. that they yes, did a lot exactly. of, but because they knew that there was still a market for those old consoles, because they would take them in and they would refurb them, and they wouldn't, there was used consoles and there was refurb consoles, and they would make a bit of a markup from that. So that's what they used to do. But I think they know like that's probably not going to really fly that well this time.
We haven't seen any of those deals yet. I would imagine like by now we probably would start to see them, but yeah, if it's not going to happen, I wouldn't be surprised, basically.
I mean, they did it a lot. Even
the value of those systems.
Even just for PlayStation 4 Pro and Xbox One X, I remember they were still doing that. Like, give us your old Xbox, and you get $100 towards your Xbox One X or something.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, and like the Switch, they did that. When the Switch Lite came out, or like the revised Switch, they like gave like a lot of money for a first-gen Switch.
Right, because they know people still want first-gen Switches, but...
Yep, yeah, you're right. All right. Okay. So we've talked a lot about Microsoft trying to get xCloud game streaming onto Apple devices and Apple being sort of monopolistic in blocking other services from coming onto the App Store with a cloud gaming service, even if it's a subscription that, you know, that Apple would get a cut of. No, they want a cut of every single game and every in-game transaction. And so they're at a standstill, but Microsoft is going to kind of take the route that Amazon has already promised to take, which is to create a web app so that people can just go to a website in the browser and that will stream the game just as if you had an app. And they're going to do this on Apple, on iOS devices. So yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm surprised they hadn't already done this, but they're working towards it. So people will be able to play their xCloud Game Pass games on iOS pretty soon.
Essentially, because like the report was like there was like an all hands meeting at Microsoft where they were talking about this, like this is what we're doing now. So it's obviously important to them, and this seems to be the solution that all these streaming things are going to be taking for Apple devices now. Amazon kind of showed the way, I guess.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense. Like if Game Pass and game streaming is probably going to have a pretty wild future. It's probably going to continue to evolve. But before it can really get to its next phase, you have to saturate the mobile market first. I get why that's what they're focusing on. If people like, I can always play it on my phone, and they start playing out there and they're like, well, maybe I would like a dedicated gaming device that I could carry around that also is really good for Game Pass. And maybe Microsoft would make something like that. Maybe someone else would make something like that. But you can't really get there until people like realize that they want this, and they're only going to realize they want it if they have it on their phone. And the kind of people that would pay for that sort of thing are on iOS in America. So you got to get on Apple. So they're figuring that out.
All right. That's about all the cloud streaming news I can take for this week.
Well, then let's talk about your weeb shit, Genshin Impact. I'm sure you're a big fan of this game. Have you tried it yet, actually? I don't know.
I was actually going to talk about what we've been playing thing. Do you want me to talk about it now?
No. It had 17 million downloads on mobile devices alone.
Yeah, that's seems to be a hit. Up here. Seems to be a big hit.
Yeah, it is. So we'll talk about it later, because I'm interested to hear your take on it. It seems like one that when I get some time, I'll try it, but I haven't even started Star Wars.
I think that you will hate it.
Okay, that's interesting. Let's talk about that then when we're talking about it then, because that's fun.
Yeah, call that a teaser.
Okay. Just a couple of questions then we'll get to that. So, all right, let's do the questions. First one from Beef Crepe. Do you have insight into the intricacies of stipulations of the Microsoft and Bethesda deal, especially in this period before the deal is final? Like, can Microsoft influence Bethesda, or Microsoft can influence Bethesda business yet, but surely Bethesda can't go and sign Starfield to the Switch, right? Also, what exactly is said period for? So something like this is like, it's like a promissory note, or it's like the sort of memorandum of understanding. Like, you've signed that and you haven't finished the deal. You haven't closed the deal. You haven't gone through all the regulatory stuff, but you've signed a memorandum of understanding that says, as long as all those other things fall into place, we are going to follow through with this. And if we follow through with this, you're going to pay us this much money. And so, yeah, they like all this money is on the line. And if Bethesda goes and messes that up, well, that changes the value that you've already agreed to. And if you do that, then all that money that was on that they are already promising to pay you is forfeit. So it's just basic contract stuff, basically. And when you say what exactly is said period for, if you're talking about like how long it's for, it's just going to be until the regulators approve it. So probably like 9 months or so, probably sometime early next year, maybe a year at most. We'll see. I guess it could be as short as 3 months, but it just depends. It depends on like the region and stuff. But these things are both worldwide, so we'll have to see how it works out. From at Big D Games, what top three games are you most looking forward to playing within the next 6 months?
That's fun.
Yeah, you start. So I'm going to look up what's coming up.
Yeah, I mean,
big game releases.
I think, I mean, God, Ratchet and Clank's the first one that comes to my mind, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. I feel like, I hope you, I know Hitman's one of yours, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Hitman 3, that's going to be
Hitman
slam.
3, like, that's like, I feel like we barely talk about that because there's so many things coming up, but like, that's happening.
That's happening in January, man. That's the thing. It's like we're in a really busy period, and I'm like very super busy right now. And so it's hard to like think past this week, let alone into like a few months from now. But it's like, man, right. Once we get past all this stuff, Hitman 3 comes out, and that's going to be very fantastic. So
right. Yeah. But like, man, I'm trying to think like what else am I really excited for, because like, there's some stuff that's like they're big releases and like I'm interested, like Assassin's Creed Valhalla or Cyberpunk, but like I'm not sure if I'm ready to put those on a list, even though I can't think of what I'm looking more forward to right now. Like I will say, like typically there's Nintendo stuff on there, like all the Nintendo stuff that's coming out soon. Again, it's like I think it's interesting or fine. It's something that I'm like super salivating over.
Yeah, Pablo in chat also helping me out with Elden Ring. I'm sorry, but Bugsnax.
He was talking,
Ring, who knows when Elden Ring?
Someone else
out,
was talking about that. Elden, yes, not Elder yeah. Ring. Elden, you fool.
Yes, Elden Ring. I said but Elden Ring.
I tell you, I mean, I don't know. Bugsnax again. Like, I think it's neat. I'm not sure if I'm quite super.
No,
if it's my kind of thing. But
yeah, sure. That's fine. I'm just a huge Octodad fan. It really hit me right square in the heart. And so I'm like, okay, whatever they're going to do next, I'm in for it. And then this game looks like it's mixing Viva Pinata and Animal Crossing and all this other stuff. And I'm like, I want to check that out. I guess they did a preview event and I didn't get to play it yet. So, but I want to hear some people's opinions on it, but mostly I'm ready to play it and see what I think. My favorite game every year is arguing with Dean about why Call of Duty is not Game of the Year.
Oh my gosh. Get ready for that. Yeah. New Call of Duty. Once again, I remember the worst was the year when it was the space one. What was that called? Infinite Warfare. The one that no one even liked, and he was still like, "This should be Game of the Year." I'm like, "Dean, no, it's not going to be this. I'm not doing it." I mean, Spider-Man, I'm looking very much forward to. I mean, even though I basically expect it to be more Spider-Man, I liked Spider-Man so much that will be fun. I want to say Bravely Default 3, but first off, I'm still skeptical it's coming out this year. And I don't know. Something about that demo didn't jive with me on Bravely Default. But
They've been good about going back and improving those games from their demos.
Right.
That's what they started doing recently.
Yeah, I hope so. But I mean, you know, the games I'm probably going to love, it's going to be something like Hades, where it wasn't on my radar at all, really. And then all of a sudden I play it and it's fantastic. So who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, Cyberpunk. I want to play Cyberpunk.
I mean, I'll tell you what, I have kept Cyberpunk off my radar to a degree that's impressive for me with such a high profile release. Like, I still don't know that much about it because I'm just like, yeah, like since they announced it, I'm like, yeah, I'm sure that'll be good. I don't, you know, I was never the one covering it. Like, you always have been, yeah. But just never, I don't know. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, sure. when it's everywhere, I know what you mean. When it's everywhere like that, it's like very easy to be like, I can just ignore this and it'll find me. Like, yeah. The important stuff will find me. And then, you know, maybe that just means I wait until it's out and then I'll play it. Yeah. But I totally know what you mean.
I mean, Shadowlands coming out, Warcraft expansion. And obviously I'm always invested in those. So I'm almost more anxious and excited about that, though. So I don't know.
Mohammed wants me to talk about Elden Ring for 1 minute. Man, listen, you guys got to relax about Elden Ring. It's not coming out very soon. There's reasons they haven't talked about it. I think if they're going to talk about it this year, there's a small chance it's at the Game Awards. I think From is just taking its time, and you'll probably hear from them a lot next year. But for now, just breathe. It exists, but just breathe and let it happen. And don't expect it anytime like in the next couple of weeks before the end of the year. And if it's like, don't expect it even at the Game Awards. And if it's there, just let it be a pleasant surprise is what I would say. Oh man, you guys. Elden Ring fans, that was as soon as like I had like one thing break, Elden Ring fans were like, tell me what you know. I'm like, why do you think I know anything? Relax.
It's From Software fans is what that really is, right? People like,
yeah,
those.
Oh yeah, totally. From Software, I don't blame them.
I'm like the person who beat Bloodborne. I was like, yeah, that was good. Didn't have anything much. I was like, yeah, I mean, it was a little hard and it was fun. I liked it fine.
I'll find you, Mike. You got to stop. You can't say these things.
Come after me. Well, they can't because like their only excuse usually is that it must have been too hard for you. I'm like, no, I beat it relatively easily, so suck it. But I just, you know, didn't care that much.
Yeah, fair enough. I hope that they upgrade that game to 60 frames per second.
No, I mean, I like it more than I'm probably letting on. I did like it, but, you know, like a lot of people are like, that's easily top 3 PlayStation 4 game. And I'm like, no, I don't know about that.
All right. But that does it for questions. So should we hop into what we've been playing? Cause I've just been playing Hades and then a few things on the Xbox Series X. Should we just get Hades out of the way real quick? And then you can tell me about Genshin.
Yeah. Cause I've been playing a ton more Hades. I actually, it's like the way it works, like the first time you beat it, that's good. And then to really get the ending, you need to beat the game 10 times. And I did that the other day. But then there's still kind of like epilogue story content that you kind of can get by playing more. And I'm like still playing it. And, you know, as much as I love Dead Cells, when I beat Dead Cells once, I was like, okay, I beat this game. And I moved on. And like, I just can't leave Hades. I'm still just having so much fun. I think because there's more story and characters to it, it makes me just a bit more invested to like, ah, no, I need to like really see this through to the end now. I'm totally here for it. And the power progression has gotten fun. And it's like, it's just like with Dead Cells, right? Where like, yeah, you are stronger, but like I am at this point now where I've become like this master of these bosses and of every single enemy type. And like, you know, I know what builds I'm looking for. It's not just stumbling into things. And yeah, like there's this proficiency that I now feel like I have with the game that just kind of makes it a lot more enjoyable to go through almost every time I do it again.
Yeah, I so I'm still very much in the like comparing it to Dead Cells in my brain, but I am playing it a ton more as well. And yeah, like you don't want to give it up. I still haven't cleared it, but I've gotten to the end a couple times now. And I'm like, okay, I'm still sort of in a phase where I just want to be unlocking stuff still. And I'm like building up my character still, and I'm not focusing on trying to get to the end and beat it as much as I would be. If I'm like, if that's what I wanted to do, I would definitely just be using the shield, and I would definitely be looking for this specific kind of build. And I'm not like forcing myself down that route. I'm like, okay, let's just keep going with the item or with the weapon that has the bonus this round. And let's keep trying to unlock stuff on these prophecies or whatever, and try to use stuff I haven't used before. And let's go to these rooms. Let's choose the room that is going to have like more of the darkness, whatever that is. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes you're doing runs where you are looking more for making those, getting the currency for your sort of permanent progression. And early on,
I can tell I'm getting to a point where I'm like, maybe I'll get over the hump and I'll start focusing on trying to get to the end and actually beat this game. But I'm not, it's no rush, cause I'm having a really good time. It's a really fun game. It is. And I am doing 5-6 runs at a time, and they're lengthy. And I just keep wanting to go back in there over and over. Right. Go ahead.
I was like, pretty much every night now I do like, I do at least 2 runs. I used to fool myself like, okay, I'll do a run. Then like I would finish it. Then I would be like, well, let's see what weapon I'm going to use. And let's get the first boon and see what that is. And then I'll stop. And I would get that first boon and be like, well, what is this like? And then I end up doing a whole nother 30-minute run.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly what it's like for me. I'll say that it's still like, I'm still not liking the combat as much as Dead Cells, but it's still better than almost any other roguelike game. And the only reason I don't is just because I find it hard from the perspective to know when I'm getting backstabs. And that's about it. That's the only thing.
I've never even worried about backstabs that much.
I've given up on worrying about them. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, okay, this is not something I can actually
it's not really
perfect or you get good at. So I'm just going to worry about other stuff. And it's like, but it's like they made a big deal about it with like, oh, here's a bonus early on for improving your backstabs. It's like the best way to do a ton of damage, but it's like, it's not going to be reliable.
Yeah. I was having fun with, you know, those artifacts you have, whatever they're called. You get one from Thanatos and it just gives you a permanent damage boost for that run each time you clear a room without dying. And that was one I always liked. And so I've kind of been trained into playing a pretty almost careful way where I am trying not to take any damage whatsoever whenever I can. And even like, though I don't always use that artifact now, and that's helped me just a lot, right? Like where I am almost kind of playing defensively and it's just about minimizing that damage. And, if I have that boon on, then by the end of it, I have like a 30% plus damage increase for
cool.
The final area. And even if it doesn't go that well, I've probably been focused so hard on not taking damage that I've been saving myself a lot of money for not having to buy like damage boosts. And I have all my death defiances and stuff like that.
Yeah, I haven't given him the ambrosia or whatever.
Give him an ambrosia and level up his artifact because my favorite one for most of the game.
Yeah, I'll have to do that. All these characters are still really great, though. They're still fantastic. Awesome to talk to. Thanatos is great. Every time I get to talk to him, I'm like, this is a cool game.
Mm-hmm. There's been some builds I got. I remember specific builds. Like the one time I got, I had Poseidon's Call ability, and that's the one where you can run around as a wave. And I had just all these things. I was like you start regenerating your builds, your like the first quarter of your thing and really fast. And you do like 20% extra damage after using a boon and all this stuff. So like when I was fighting the last boss, I was just basically using that thing over and over and doing a ton of damage. It was like so much fun.
Yeah, Poseidon, I think, is my favorite god.
He's such my god. Bro god. Love it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I wanna hang out with him and drink beer. Yeah.
He's cool uncle. He's cool uncle god.
Yeah, he literally is cool uncle. Yeah, and his that Poseidon's Call is a must have for me if I get a chance to get it.
There's a lot of things where I'm like, most of these things are good, but like the calls, there are some calls that I'm just like, these are what, like, there's the call where it's like, it's the Aphrodite one where it's like, oh, people are charmed sometimes. I'm like, oh, great. I'm basically killing everybody in like 5 seconds at this point. Anyways, I don't need to charm an enemy. It's like in a JRPG, like, why would I use this spell to like charm the enemy into attacking its allies for me when I can just, you know, push the X button and hit them?
Well, I could just like, yeah, literally throw the thunder of God at it and watch it explode. Yeah. And I when I go from one run to the next and then that, and my build completely changes and everything is different. And it's like, this is still just as fun. That's actually when the game said it's most impressive for me. Cause it's like, even in Dead Cells, I'm like, I tried to like, I like leaned one way or the other. You know, there's a lot more weapons in Dead Cells. So it's like some, I would get them, I would try them a couple times, be like, this is definitely not for me. I'm gonna look for other stuff. Here though, it's like, you know, I'm having fun going bouncing between all the weapons because each one's fun in a different way.
Yeah.
And while I've had my best run with the shield, I feel like as I like go through and I'm like, oh man, I have to use the bow and arrow this time. So it's probably not gonna be a good run. And it's like, oh, and I'm like, no, that was like my second best run ever.
That's actually my best weapon now. And I don't know if you actually get to a point where you can upgrade the weapons in interesting ways. So even if like you don't like a weapon right now, you can find a form of it that you do enjoy. So like I didn't like that machine gun thing for a while. And now I just did a run last night where I'm like, oh, no, this version of it is actually pretty fun. I think
you could change the weapons too, right? Yeah. They have their characteristics or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the aspects. I think what makes me like this more than Dead Cells is sometimes in Dead Cells, like I would end up with a build during my run that I just would straight up not like at all. And I would like find it useless. I'd be like, well, this is pretty much a dead run. Because I got unlucky with the build. I don't really have that in Hades. Like, I feel like I'm able to at least get myself a decent build to like to get what I want to accomplish or accomplish something for that run. So the bad luck doesn't seem to be as negative a force as it can be in Dead Cells sometimes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to putting a lot more time in with this game. I've already probably played it for about 20 hours.
I'm like 45 hours deep, and I tell you what, you talk to people and they still have new things to say. The voice acting, the depth of it is, it's good.
Yeah, like you always hear that thing what's his name from like Beyond Two Souls and all those other games. He's like, oh, I wrote 300,000 words for this script.
David
Cage. Apparently, yes, David Cage. Yeah, and apparently Greg Kasavin, who's like the narrative director for this game. He wrote 300,000 lines and it feels way more impressive than this, just because it's like, it's, you know, you go to the same God over and over, or you talk to these people at the beginning of like the, you know, Hades throne room or whatever. You talk to them over and over and each time it's different. And that is wild. I can't believe how good that the narrative strings along over these runs in a way that really does feel like continuous forward progression. That is incredible. That must've taken a lot of work, and it's the kind of thing where it's like, that probably only could happen with an early access game where you continue to write it as you're going along. You continue to write it as you're getting the actual like data from players playing the game and seeing how they actually progress through and be like, well, if I focus a lot of effort here on my writing, that'll get a big bang for my buck. So yeah, sure. Like 2% of players, maybe fewer than that, will ever actually see this stuff. But like, I know a lot will, and then, you know, and I have all this time through this development cycle to actually do that. And yeah, it's a smart way of doing things, and I'm glad they did, because it really does set this game apart. Okay, yeah, tell me about Genshin Impact.
It's very pretty. It is impressive for a free-to-play game. I find it kind of annoying and boring, which I feel like I'm on an unpopular side of the spectrum on this. I feel like a lot of people really seem to love this game, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's I'm a bit of a weeb, right? Like, I like a lot of JRPGs and stuff. Like, this is a game where you are running around and every character is like an 18-year-old like hot anime person, and not in a fun way. And it's just, you know, like the first like the first character you meet is like this little fairy, and you know, she sounds like how you think, you know, the anime fairy sounds, and she's basically like your Navi character. I'm like, oh gosh. And I think the game's front heavy on a lot of this exposition stuff, but like I just could not care less of it. And it's like, there's a dragon terrorizing this town, and I'm like, okay, couldn't you have just like had me walk towards the town and show a dragon flying over it? You could have communicated that to me just fine without having to listen to people talk about it. Like, the combat's basically, you're going to have four people in your party, and they can have different weapons, but like each character has a weapon type they hold. And, you know, you have a basic like 3-hit combo or some kind of combo usually, and each one has 2 cooldown abilities. And, you know, I guess the depth is more in the way like the elements can interact with each other. So if you use a water move and characters are wet and then you use electricity move, right, then they're going to, you know, take more damage or something is going to happen. It looks really good. It plays well. I get it because it is like this big open world. It's pretty, but it's, I don't know. I find it kind of... I find it kind of bleh.
What are you playing on?
PC.
Okay. And PC. How's it run?
It runs really well. Looks, again, graphically very impressive. It looks great. I will say, like, you know, the Zelda stuff that it takes is good. Like, you know, you have the glider. That's fun. You have the stamina bar. I almost wish it took more from it because, like, I don't think what Zelda needed was more RPG elements necessarily. And if that's what you wanted, and if weapon durability really drove you that insane, then, you know, that's not here, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what it, I think, what I've heard is it is for that kind of game for people who like almost like Breath of the Wild, but had some issues with it. It's like, oh, this game like sands some of those edges off. But I've also heard that the exploration is really good. Have you?
And maybe that's it. Cause I'm still like in the first few hours and it's still pretty guided at this point. Maybe if I just got to the exploration, I'd be having more fun, but like, I don't know. I don't know if I care enough to even get to that point at right now. Yeah. There's so many things to play, and like it does have these gotcha elements. Right. And, like, it's as far as doing that, it's not bad, right? It's fine, but it's still like,
right?
Like, oh, like I'm gonna, you know, spend my 5 fairy gems, whatever the hell they are, and hope I get a 5-star hot archer lady.
Yeah, I know why they don't do this, but you know, I can't remember the name of the game, but there was a huge mobile game that had a DS version came out. Maybe it was a 3DS version, and they just made it into like a $40 3DS release. And I wish that they would almost do that here, where it's like, you have this really good game and yeah, you want to do the gotcha thing, but maybe on console, just sell it for $60. Cause you would probably make.
Yeah, I guess. The same amount of money. The gotcha things. That's not really the thing that's bothering me. I don't know.
Oh, fair enough.
I just don't know if it's quite deep or interesting enough. It's very, very pretty. Like, I mean, it, especially on PC, like, or at least my PC, it runs super well. The colors are very vibrant. The cell shading is done very nicely. Like, it is a AAA, like, I guess that's what's interesting about this, right? We don't really have, like, a AAA free-to-play open world game, right? That's different.
Right, yeah.
Like, I get it.
Yeah.
And I do think that's really neat. But I don't know. Maybe I need to play more of it. Maybe you can play it and tell me what you think. Because, again, a lot of people really do seem to be into it, but... not yet for me.
I'll get around to it. I found like I'm so busy right now. I can't even play the games that I definitely want to play. Like I haven't even started Star Wars Squadrons. And part of that is like I want to like set up Star Wars Squadrons to like have the best possible experience. I want to have my HOTAS, but I also want to have my VR headset, and I'll have to get all that stuff reconnected and take the time to do that. And I just don't have any time right now. And I'm like, I still want to like play through Marvel's Avengers. I'm like halfway through that story. I never completed it. And a big part of that was every time I tried to play it, my PC was crashing because the PSU. But
I think I'm the only person who like still plays Marvel Avengers. Like,
So someone in chat was saying, hey, are you going to talk about the low online numbers? You know, I think we only know for PC. I think it gets down to below 1,000.
Yeah.
Concurrent today.
Yeah. And like, that's not great. And like, obviously not to excuse that, because I'm sure that is indicative of a problem, but this is a game I imagine most of the people are playing it on console. It's specifically PlayStation 4 because of the Spider-Man thing. But
right,
as someone who actually does,
right,
it should have crossplay absolutely to help this problem. But and especially for a third-person multiplayer action game, like why the hell not? Like usually your concern with crossplay is but the mouse and keyboard and you know controller people, and then
right,
even Call of Duty is like who cares? And it was not a problem, right? So. But this wouldn't even be an issue, because it's just a game where you run around and punch stuff for the most part. So, but I mean, they really have not added anything content wise to the game since it launched, which feels like a while ago now. So,
right,
like, I can imagine, like, you know, I play it maybe once or twice a week to kind of do my weekly challenges and unlock more cosmetics for Captain America, who I already have maxed out for the most part. So, like, and even I in that little bit of playing, like, man, I'm starting to get bored, and I'm seeing a lot of the same stuff here. Like, let's go with some of that new content and some of that, like, I know there's supposed to be some kind of like 4-player raid type thing coming. And I'm like, yeah, I could probably use that right now because like I play with my two brothers and I'm sure we can find somebody else and have fun with that. But I'm a little surprised that the like roadmap for new content hasn't come out. Like, I think they said something about today, but there isn't like a really strong one. And I'm shocked that they didn't, like when it launched, be like, yeah, in a month after it launches, we're going to have like a, you know, a decent content update so that people are yeah. engaged here. Because I think a lot of people have bounced off, but I don't know if they're going to come back. Yeah, I don't know if it's COVID.
Or if it's like they wanted to line stuff up with like movie releases. I wonder if they have like a big Black Widow thing where like, all right, well, we already have Black Widow in the game. There's a Black Widow movie coming out. We could do new costumes for her, but we can also maybe do like a story related to like story missions related to that stuff. Yeah. And that would be really easy to do for the thing. But I don't know.
But oh, I mean the Hawkeye character and like her Hawkeye's daughter, or whatever, is supposed to be coming. Like that's got to be coming sooner rather than later. And Spider-Man's supposed to be out, but who knows? I mean, that feels, I'd be surprised if that
Spider-Man's
was this
next
year,
right? Isn't that what they said?
Did they say that? I mean, maybe.
I think they said that.
Maybe.
Well, either way, though, I think you're right, though. The lack of content is probably going to hurt it. I do think that as this game gets big new content drops, its numbers will probably jump back up. And Ryan Schaefer in chat was asking, do we know what Anthem's numbers were like 2-3 weeks after launch for comparison? And I think that was only on Origin, so we wouldn't have the numbers.
We wouldn't know, right, quite well. I mean, they were bad. I mean, they're, you know, they're remaking that game, so...
Right, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't... I think the most famous one I can remember was that... What was that Boss Keys game from Cliffy B? That was like the one. You're like,
yeah, that's. I was going to say the same thing, and I can't remember the name. Lawbreakers.
Lawbreakers. That was the one. I was like, you know, like a few weeks later, I was like, it's like 50 people playing, and I was like, oh no.
Right. Yeah. Like. Yeah. It hasn't like 1,000 people playing per day is low, but it is on PC with a game with that probably does have primarily a console player base, and it is like a $60 game. And as that game like goes on sale or anything like that, there's a lot of people are going to probably come in like for Christmas on that game.
And it is different from a Destiny or an Anthem in that like this does have a substantial like quote unquote single player element to it. And I know you can do that stuff online, but like I think for a lot of people, Avengers may just be a game that they get and they play like, you know, the 8-hour campaign and like they don't really have that much interest in having it become like a Destiny like experience.
Yeah that is, someone chats is the sooner it dies the sooner we'll get a new Deus Ex or a Tomb Raider, because those are the studios making this game. I don't know,
I feel like both the last ones for both of those didn't seem to make too much of a dent, did they? Especially
right, and this game is like in like a similar level right now, which I think it's probably doing better than those games, but even if it's at a similar level, the fact that it's a service game means that they can keep trying without having to spend as much money as making one of those games. And if this game continues to come like pick back up like these games often do, it's going to pay way more for them in the long run,
right? I mean, even Fallout 76 was like one of the biggest jokes in online service games forever. Like, you know, there's a story in Kotaku, I think today, it was like Fallout 76 is finally good, and like I have like friends, like local friends that are playing Fallout 76, which is nuts to me. But like a brand, if you have a good brand, like eventually you can kind of get there, right?
And I think yeah, this isn't even as bad as like Final Fantasy 14 was, where they had to like completely remake the game, or like what Anthem is doing. So yeah, I think they're probably pretty happy. Like I think, yeah, it could be better, but it could be a lot worse. And I still think that they are in a better position than what Anthem was in. And I think Anthem would have killed to have this many people probably playing still at this point. I still think that's probably true. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Anthem Artifact was the other one. Is that what that's what that game was called, right?
The card game from
game. What's happened with that? We haven't heard anything about that this year.
I think kept saying they were going to relaunch.
Not anything. I mean, they are relaunching it. That. They talked about because there was a developer update. They talked about it, like, you know, they're reworking it.
Yeah, pretty hardcore. Talks about a lot of things. I don't know, man.
Everyone. That's the thing with Valve, right? People can work on what they want to. What if all those people are like, we don't want to work on this anymore?
Yeah. No. What if? Like, that's a real problem. Yeah, for sure. Yep. It's getting kind of near the end of the year. We'll get out of here real quick. But you have any thoughts about game of the year right now?
I've been thinking about it constantly for whatever reason. I'm pretty sure I have my game of the year. I'm pretty sure it's set. I think people could guess if they knew me.
Yeah, no, I think Ori's a contender for me as well in terms of like at least making my top 10.
Did you beat it yet?
No, because I got my computer was kept crashing, and that was what I was streaming it from, yeah. And it completely threw me off. And now I started playing Hades. But yes, I will. I'll beat it. I do wish that I could just take my save over to the Switch, though. That would be so much easier.
Oh yeah, I mean, it runs super well on the Switch too. I'm excited to play that on Series. Have you been able to try that actually on Series X?
What? Ori? I don't think been able to try it. I don't know if that's on the list. I'll have to look and see. I should. I got like
some weeb game.
I've got like a bunch. I've got like 25 games that I've recorded onto here that I was going to put into a video for tomorrow for this weekend. And Ori was not one of them. I'll go upstairs. I'll try it again real quick and see if that works. And if it does, I'll put it in that video.
I'm sure you're busy. Oh, yeah. Here's number two right here.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I got sent this as a physical Digimon re-release, the Tamagotchi.
Like the Tamagotchi? Okay, yeah.
Like this was the first thing I knew what a Digimon was. From Bandai, so that'll be fun. That's nostalgic.
Yeah, number two game of the year right there for sure. Yeah, Hades is moving up quick for me though.
Yeah, oh no, Hades is probably a top three. Maybe it'll be number two, because Hades has really just blown its way up there.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see. I'll have to like go back and look really, but that's the one that's at the top of my mind right now.
I guess the other one, and here's the weeb one that's like maybe probably top three.
Please.
That you probably do not care about is Final Fantasy VII Remake. I really liked that, and it's actually sitting better with me the further I get away with it or get away from it. I'm like, yeah, that was great. I liked what it was throwing out there. I was picking up on its jive.
I think that was a good game. I do. I think that they did a really good job of that game.
Oh yeah.
It's vibe or it's jive. I think you're allowed to say either thing there. I never beat it though. But I have the PlayStation 4 down here now. Maybe
that'll be a cool one for when you get the PlayStation 5, right? I mean, what the heck?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yes, that would be if that gets a. I'm sure it will too.
Right, you would think
an exclusive, so they would probably want to make a big deal about boosting that. But that game like ran really well on the PS4.
It did actually. It looked very. It had some load times, so that game looked very good.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, right. it was fine for the most part. But maybe that's the one I could just like stream and use that as an exclusive.
We got a super chat $10 from Gun Grixy, as I'm gonna say that. Thank you very much, Gun.
Hey, thank you for that super chat. But with that, though, we should probably get out of here, Mike. You want to go ahead and tell people where they can find you on the internet?
Yeah, find me on Twitter at Tolkoto, TOLKOTO. And don't forget to check out 90s Disney, my 90s Disney podcast at 90sDisney.com.
Get me on Twitter at Jeff Grubb. Check out my other podcast, How Games Make Money. I posted an episode this week with the CEO of Tempo Storm, which is an esports organization. But it's like they do more than just like compete, right? Because an esports organization is also always like a media company. They are actually making their own digital card game now too. So like he likened it to like becoming the Bloomberg of esports, where the game is going to be like what makes them most their money, and they're still going to do all this other stuff. But that's the plan anyhow. I think it's a really interesting conversation. You can get that there. That's on the subscription feed, on the audio feed right now. I'm still going to put a video up of that on this channel, so look out for that. And then, more Xbox Series X stuff coming up on youtube.com/Jeffrey Grubb. So if you're watching this live, just, keep an eye on the channel. If you're listening to this on the audio version, come check that out. I will have a look at, I can't say exactly what, but there will be some next-gen games eventually. And then, like I said, I'm going to have that big video of all the backwards compatible games that I've tried so far. That'll go up over the weekend. And then go to gamesbeat.com for those stories as well. All right, Mike, I'm going to say goodbye to the people. And I guess we'll be back with another new episode next week. Until then, have a good one. Take care of yourself and goodbye.
Bye, everyone. I'm trying
pause
to
the show.
Okay, yeah, pause it. I'm trying to imagine what his PlayStation 4 Pro could possibly look like. Oh, it's literally paused.
Hey, what's the matter?
Oh, we can hear him. I kind of feel voyeuristic now. I'm kind of excited. to see what the baby is upset about. Do you guys even still hear me? I don't know what magic he did. I don't think you can. Too bad for you. Oh, we do. Okay, good. I was about to say something embarrassing. I've always been in control of this podcast. Might take control of the podcast. It's all me.